This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
.537 is the time. Welcome back here on WGR, our extended Sabres end of season coverage all day long. Big thanks to Evan DePasquale, our producer, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, who started at 11 a.m. We've been playing exit interviews throughout the day from yesterday and today, and then, of course, the 52-minute press conference with GM Kevin Adams and Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Brian Colzio with you here. One final segment with us here, which is perfect, because guess what? It's 6 o'clock. You got the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Winnipeg and St. Louis, the President's Cup leading Jets, in what should be a great atmosphere in Winnipeg, that building rocks when their fans are into it. And they and St. Louis have the 6 o'clock game. And then at 8:30 tonight, Dallas and Colorado in what I think is the best first-round series on paper. All right. And then more tomorrow. Let's get down to KeyBank Center. Paul Hamilton is with us. Paul, we can talk about the playoffs starting here in a minute, but obviously a ton to dissect here. We won't be able to get to everything, but for at least a few minutes here, maybe just some. What are your biggest takeaways? Let's start with Kevin Adams, because I think that's probably what more fans were interested in hearing about. Not to devalue anything that Lindy said, but let's start with Adams. You asked right away about changes and what might be coming. What did you think of how the GM sounded today?
Well, I think they have an idea what they want to do as far as changes, but that all gets talked about with Terry Pegula. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. So whether you're talking about assistant coaching changes or changes to the hockey department or changes to the strength and conditioning department or whatever it might be, that's where all that will be discussed. But I'm sure Kevin has a plan in his mind of where he wants to go. I mean, he didn't come up with a straight answer either if he's going to remain the general manager. He just said, I'm going to be asked tough questions by Terry Pegula about what's going on here, and I'm going to tell him it's not good enough with the way it goes. So it's just, I don't know, I guess I'm going by logic here, which maybe you can't do with Terry Pegula, but if you were going to change the general manager, I don't know why you'd let him go through what he's just gone through. Number one, the trade deadline, where he makes a big trade to the core of the hockey team. Number two, goes through exit interviews with the players, telling him what they need to do to be better and what they need to do over the summer. I don't know. I don't know why you would let a guy go through that if you had any thoughts of changing him. So, I could be wrong, because Terry Pegula has changed his mind in the past. But I just don't feel that, he's going to let Kevin Adams go. Now, is he going to move Kevin Adams to something else? Could happen, I suppose. Then you hire a new general manager. Kevin would still be in the organization. I certainly would not, put Kevin in charge of hockey operations. I wouldn't create that job and put him in that job. I don't think Terry Pegula has any taste for that kind of a position anyway. And I agree with him. I don't like that position either. It's too many bosses. The general manager doesn't need a boss. The general manager should know the most about hockey and be your your hockey person. And if your general manager needs a boss ahead of him, then he's not a good enough general manager, in my opinion. Your best hockey man should be your general manager. I don't think you need an operations guy, but we'll see how it goes once they meet with Pegula.
That's right. Paul, if you, you know, go about what Lindy said today about his, I guess, season as a whole, he kind of owned up to the fact that, you know, maybe, you know, he all has definitely taken the blame for the 13-game winless streak, but that it, you know, now that he's gotten to know these guys, that he feels like he's in a really, really good spot. He praised the players for their professionalism and attitude down the stretch of the season during meaningless games. But I think Lindy has to be on the hook, too, because it also took him a while to kind of figure out maybe what buttons needed to be pushed here. And ultimately, for a guy that this isn't his first head coaching job. So I don't think he is solely innocent here in where this team is at.
No, he has to take responsibility. And that's why I'm not convinced that there won't be coaching staff changes here. It's sad that you got to say this, but I just don't think they can get away with doing absolutely nothing. They're going to have, with, you know, the way the fans feel right now, they're going to have to sacrifice somebody. And that's a sad thing to say, because you're talking about people's livelihoods and their jobs. But I just don't think this fan base is going to buy them doing nothing and just entering next season with same hockey department, same GM, same coach, same assistant coaches, same strength and conditioning coaches, same rehab coaches. I just can't see them getting away with that. I know they can. I know the fans will lose their minds if that happens. Whether Terry Pegula cares if the fans lose their minds, I don't know. But so I would expect to see something. We're guessing right now. And again, with Terry Pegula, it does become a guessing game, because it's very difficult to guess what he's thinking and what he might be doing.
Paul Hamilton down live at KeyBank Center in the media room following the season-ending press conference with GM Kevin Adams and head coach Lindy Ruff. We'll get Paul's final takes here over the next few minutes before we call it a day. Hope you've enjoyed our extended long coverage since 11 a.m. here on the, we'll call it our Sabres wrap-up day coverage here. Paul, goaltending was talked about quite a bit,
yeah.
And Luukkonen and Levi and where he's at. And Kevin Adams said, not just paraphrasing here, but he said he's not really scared that if Luukkonen and Levi are here next year, that you know, he's not scared of that. Lindy said, I believe in UPL. He blamed it more on the play in front of him. He said it can be tough for any goalie. Obviously, the Reimer wild card factor of how he all plays into this could come into play. Levi, they hope, gets a long run with the Amerks upcoming here in the postseason for in the AHL playoffs. But what did you take from both what Lindy and Kevin had to say just about the goaltending situation as a whole?
Yeah, for me, this was the most important part of what I heard. As a general manager who has to win next year, he was supposed to win this year, but if he stays, he has to win next year, you would think. I would not be comfortable in the least leaving my goaltending with Luukkonen and Levi. And it's a possibility it could work out, maybe a good possibility it could work out. But you're talking about an AHL goaltender who is an all-star, who is maybe the best college goaltender that's ever lived. So he has a good resume. Now he spent a year plus, about a quarter of a year last year in the minors, which I think is excellent development. He's an all-star goalie down there. Last I looked, he was leading the AHL in shutouts. And, having a great season. But we don't know if it's going to translate into the NHL. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen last year, but the last 35 games of the year, had some of the best numbers in the National Hockey League. He was second in games played. He was top first or second in a lot of the categories. Played great. Looked like he did in the last game he started this year. And Lindy's absolutely right. The play in front of him at times was horrendous. But at the end of Lindy Ruff's actions spoke loudest to me. at the end of the year when he felt it was important to win hockey games and they need to learn how to play and learn how to win hockey games, James Reimer was the guy that he thought was the best goaltender to give him a chance to win because he was always in net. He basically was in net the last 2-3 weeks of the season because he was great. He was playing very, very well, and he gave the Sabres the best chance to win. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't believe Lindy Ruff when he says he has confidence in Luukkonen, but he has to go by what was going on at the time, and Reimer was outplaying him by a lot. You know, if it were a playoff, if they were made the playoffs, James Reimer would be their goaltender going into the playoffs because he earned it. So I and Adams did say when I asked him their comfort level to tell me their comfort level with it, he said he's very comfortable. If he would need to go into the season with Luukkonen and Levi, he's comfortable with that. But he also is not against if the right deal came along and he could make the goaltending better through a trade, he would do that. So at least there's that out there. But as a general manager that needs to win, it could turn out fantastically for you to have Luukkonen and Levi as your goaltenders. You might have two guys that are hitting their stride and are lights out. That possibly could happen. Or you might be right back where you are this year, where the goaltending is not good. You're not winning hockey games because you're not getting big saves. And that would be too much for me to take that chance.
A little on the contract talk throughout this press conference, Paul. Bo Byram's contract was brought up. He said, Adams did, that they're going to start to talk about his contract as they get into the offseason. He was asked about Tuck and a possible extension. He didn't really say much about the contract. He just said that they hope that he's here a long time.
He said it's a priority. You know,
yeah. That's right. Yeah, priority. So that he's going to be here a long time. And then we know there's some RFAs coming up, including Paterka, Quinn. Just, I guess, your sense here over these exit interview days here and what you've heard from Adams over these last few weeks even, just about maybe like the contract priority, like what's coming here. Is Tuck, you think, going to be the big one of this offseason, an extension there, or
could
are
be
looking elsewhere?
Could be. I mean, it's going to be a lot of money. I would not go past 4 or 5 years because he's going to be 30 years old when the contract would kick in. In my opinion, Quinn and Levi are easy. They're qualifying offers, and if you don't like it, too bad. Bo Byram's interesting. A lot of folks, including Bulldog, we've had this discussion. He doesn't believe in Bo Byram. He would not give him a long-term contract. I would, but maybe the Sabres might decide. It's 2 years before he's unrestricted. So they might decide, let's give him a 2-year deal and see what happens. See if you like him better or worse. There have been times this year, more times than not, where I've liked Byram a lot, and it hasn't always been when he played with Rasmus Dahlin. And there have been times recently where I haven't liked him. It seems like his offense all of a sudden went – his offense was great for a while, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. So, you know, that has gone down. And
Paul, can I just jump in quick on that? We keep saying, you know, a priority is to find somebody to play with power. Is there anything – I mean, is it limiting to say, like, why can't – Byram's best definitely, of course, was mostly with Dahlin. Is there anything wrong with just saying that, hey, you know, these two together make a really good top pair for our team? Like, is that, I know Byram being good is tied to playing with Dahlin, but I guess somebody has to play with Dahlin. So I guess why can't it be Byram if that's what brings out the best in him?
Because I at least I have a narrative which I believe in, and I asked Kevin Adams about it. Kevin Adams had talked about that in the past, but maybe is not thinking quite that way anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to find a guy that can play in those minutes, not a guy like Eric Johnson whose career has passed him, or Clifton, or somebody like that. Somebody that can play those minutes with power, that has his back at all times. No matter what happens on the ice, that guy's got him. Whether it's a scrum, whether it's 2-on-1, whether it's, you know, bad play in the zone, but he's got his back. can always cover for him. Always there at the bench to talk to after a shift, just like Zucker was for Kulik. That's the guy, I think. You know, the guy that Markov has had was Rive. The guy that Pronger had was McCrimmon. The guy that Chychrun had this year with the Capitals was Jensen. That type of a guy. That's what I would want for Owen Power. I'm not sure Kevin Adams agrees with that anymore just because of the conversations that he's had with Power. But that's why I don't – Byram's not that guy at all.
No, Byram with Dahlin is my thought.
Oh, with Dahlin. Yeah, that could still work.
I'm saying somebody has to play – yeah, I'm sorry. Dahlin has to have someone to play with him. So what I'm saying is if Byram looked really good with Dahlin, like, why can't that be the pair ultimately? It doesn't mean that you would – Your conversation about getting somebody with Power, I think, is separate. Like, yeah, I think they definitely need to go get somebody.
I thought you said Byram with Power. That's why I went
Byram with Dahlin. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's why I went the route I did.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, Paul, I think Byram and Dahlin as your top pair looked nice, and then if it brings out the best in Byram, great. And then, like you said, go get someone to play with Power, and that's your second pair.
Right, and then. If you still have Samuelson, then he's on your third pair. I agree with what their analysis is. I think Samuelson was better as the year went on. Maybe not at the tail end, but after he got back from injury, I thought he played really well. But you know, it's some of the other things that have gone on. Is it time to move on from Matthias Samuelson and get somebody else in that spot? Their defense is not good enough. I mean, there's just been too many turnovers, too many. I mean, that's how Lindy Ruff defended Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, because of how bad they were in front of him. And that's not just defensemen. That's a five-man unit that, you know, he was forced into making saves that are almost impossible at times. I get that, and he's not wrong. But, you know, so I just don't think you can run the defense back the way it is. And maybe with one more guy or whatever, I think maybe it might not be a bad idea. You open up $4.75 million if you trade Samuelson, and maybe it's time to put somebody else in there, somebody new.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, two things to go here, and then we'll wrap up. First, let's talk about Rochester. Obviously, Levi's going to get a chance to ride them as long as he'll take them. But Kulik going down, the decision that Adams made and said, look, he's 20, he's got a special opportunity here. I like how he framed it, though. It's still related to the Sabres. He said, I have a hope that our team and our players will be playing into June. So essentially, like, here, let's let Kulik get a taste of that right now. I would think Kulik's going to be a big addition to that Amherst team, Paul. That has been a good team this year.
I like what both guys said, both what Adams said and what Lindy Ruff said. He goes, I've coached at the World Championship, and I think it's been more than once. And he goes, the hockey's not as good. He goes, he will play better hockey in the Calder Cup playoffs than he will at the World Championships, because some of the teams just aren't that strong at the Worlds. You know, it's not uncommon to wind up with a 8-0 game or something like that, when it's not like Canada against the U.S. or Finland or Sweden, like the Big Four. So there's too many easy games. You're on a bigger ice surface. He felt you're going to play better hockey in the American Hockey League playoffs, and I would agree with that.
Yeah. The last game of the season today for Rochester, they're playing at Toronto against the Marlies. It's a 2-2 game as of this moment. But next Friday, the Amerks will be home for Syracuse as they open up that best of five. If you want to go see the Amerks play, which obviously would include Kulik and Levi and others, they are home at Blue Cross Arena in Rochester Friday, April 25th. And Sunday, April 27th.
Sunday is an afternoon game. I believe it's 3:00, but it is an afternoon game.
Yeah, 3:00 on next Sunday, and Friday night's game is 7.
So, and if folks are wondering, Kulik is not playing in that Rochester game because he was here talking to Kevin Adams on his on his interview. So he's still here in Buffalo, but he will be down there for the playoffs on Friday.
Okay, Paul, perfect timing here to wrap up. 6:00, the Stanley Cup playoffs start. Obviously, you and I right about now, if this was game one for the Sabres, we could be doing our keys to the game. I hope that we'll get a chance to do that next season, as broadcasting for a playoff game, as we know, is a lot of fun. However,
well, if you're ready, we can do keys to the game. The keys to the game is get better for next season and start winning some hockey games. And if you want to read the sponsor for it, feel free, because that's the keys to the game right now. You've got an off season, you got to make some changes, and you absolutely have to win some hockey games.
Yes, Paul's Keys All Season, brought to you by Ralex Honda. Ralex, we got this. We appreciate all of our Sabres partners, including Ralex with Paul's Keys. All right, Paul, who wins the Stanley Cup? What team?
If Dallas get Heiskanen back, I like them. I liked them last year, and I like them this year. Heiskanen would be, if they can't get him back soon, that, and he's back on the ice at least, skating, you know, with the team, you know, that would be a blow to them. I think they can survive not having Robertson, who is a 35-goal scorer, but Heiskanen is the key. So if they get him back, I would stick with Dallas.
Okay. I wanna say that the Tampa Florida winner seems like that could be a bloodbath series. Like I think both of those teams are capable. Tampa's scoring this year is way up. Florida, we know, have tested from last year, but maybe they beat each other up so much. I mean, am I allowed to pick Toronto, Paul?
I was going to say, I'm surprised you're not taking the Leafs. You're
I was
homer.
So impressed.
I mean, they're your team. So
I was just so impressed with Stolarz 2 weeks ago, or last week. Or what was, no, it was Tuesday when we saw him. I was so impressed with Stolarz that I walked away from the building and I'm thinking, if he can play like that, maybe the Leafs can actually, you know, go this
year. Well, the last goaltender that played like that for the Leafs in the playoffs was Johnny Bauer. So, and that was before you and I were on this earth. So, it's been a while since they've gotten goaltending in the playoffs.
That's true. Yeah. Great series coming up. Colorado-Dallas, I think that's a great series. Florida-Tampa is a great series as well. And Toronto, even though on paper they should beat Ottawa, that could be juicy and could be super intense on the ice. So I think that's going to be a fun series to watch, too.
Yeah, how's Brady Tkachuk feeling, number one, and can Ottawa get goaltending? Their goaltending is not good. Linus Allmark has proven time and time again he is not a playoff goaltender. Let's see if maybe he is this year, but they're going to need better goaltending. If they get goaltending, Ottawa definitely has a chance.
Yeah. Paul, you've been doing outstanding work these last few days here, obviously all season too. I've enjoyed working with you, but the exit interviews these last few days and, of course, the press conference today. So thank you so much for your work, and I look forward to talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs with you soon here, very shortly at some point on WGR.
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
All right, thanks. Paul down in the media room at KeyBank Center. Again, thanks to all of our guys today that brought us our extended coverage from 11 a.m. Hope you enjoyed our Sabres season-ending coverage. Evan DePasquale, our producer, Paul Hamilton down at KeyBank Center, Joe Calley, Derek Kramer earlier today, and, of course, everybody that listened. We appreciate it. I'm Brian Colziel, signing off here at 5:59. I'm going to go watch Winnipeg and St. Louis here. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs. Thanks for listening to our Sabres coverage all year long right here on WGR. Good night, everyone.